Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. Yes, folks, I'm here today with Steve Protomani. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Hey, it's a pleasure. And Steve's a young guy, but he's got not only a lot of ambition, he's got a lot of energy. And if you could see him sitting here, you'd know. But he's full of energy, and he's got a lot of things to do, and we're going to talk about some of those things, and we're going to mix it in with our fifth step, which talks about discussing with people, mulling things over with ourselves, and most importantly, taking it to our sense of God, whatever that happens to be. And folks, if you're out there and you believe in nothing, that's fine too. We don't run a religion here. We just believe in spirituality, and it seems to make the difference. So, Steve, when you look at your life, when you look at where you are, when you look at where you're going and so on, you obviously have a prescription of some sort for yourself to keep yourself on the straight and narrows, and it seems to be working. So tell us a little bit about that. I'm always interested in anyone who follows a way other than the 12 steps, because it's the only one I've ever found that works for most people who really work it. So,
Well, Scott, the main thing I work on is my spirituality. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to get more into the religious God aspect of recovery and life in general, yeah. But it's not how I generally go about my recovery.
Sure.
So for me, I truly believe in just being open and honest.
Okay.
Find your real traumas in life, what's really affected you, what caused you to do certain things and lead to certain behaviors in life, and really heal on that. And you can go about that many ways, right? You could sit there and pray and you can sit there and pray and like really go into the religious aspect, or
sure.
You can, I like to meditate. Okay. I'll wake up every morning, I'll do a little meditation session. I'll try to center myself and just tell myself, what do I need to do today to be a good person?
Okay.
Right? And it helps. And remind myself what's truly important in life. Mm-hmm. I have a family. I have a young son. I was neglectful while I was in active use. Mm-hmm. And I nearly lost everything.
Yeah.
So I remind myself what's more important. Partying, being immature, mm-hmm. or being a family man, a father, a good husband.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of like just self reminders, mindfulness exercises. So I meditate.
Mm-hmm.
I just constantly remind myself about what really is important in life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What about like coming together with other people who've been through it or are going through it? Do you have any sort of way to get with people like that, or do you even bother with that? I mean, that association, that identification is pretty important for a lot of guys.
So. Okay, so me personally, I do go to groups. Mm-hmm. I go to my Tuesday meetings at my rehab center, which was Vita Nova.
Oh, okay.
That's out in Woodbridge, and we sit there and we talk. It's mm-hmm. not a 12-step base, but mm-hmm. we all sit there and we discuss how our week was. Mm-hmm. What we struggled with or how we felt, and we discuss our overall feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I do also go to Wednesdays. It's a 12-step Bridge to Connection.
Okay.
My friend runs that, so I go there every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I do connect, and even just with my friends, I'm very open and honest about my struggles, where I've been, where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ashamed of just discussing with anybody and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm constantly talking about it, and that's part of the healing.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I truly believe. You need to discuss it. You need to talk about it, right?
Because yeah.
What you did in the past isn't who you are in the future.
Yeah, true, true.
right? So
you would say separating the person from the behavior is a big part of getting to where we need to be to heal, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, me too.
I really do believe that. It's worked for me. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm open.
Yeah.
I'm open.
Yeah.
I can see some guy at the mall and we can just be talking for 2 seconds, and if it comes up somehow or something somehow relatable, I'm all for it.
Could be your shirts though.
Yeah, that's something about it too. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. I know you're a walking advertisement, so you might as well tell us about that, how it works, and how people might join you in procuring some of these items that you have printed and so on.
Okay, so what I'm working on is I'm doing a clothing line for recovering addicts, mm-hmm. And it's called Clean and Sober. KLNSBR. Okay. And our purpose is exactly, so my shirts, they have slogans on them, like this one that I'm wearing, the only Coke is a cola.
Yeah.
And the purpose of them is to create conversation.
Yeah.
It's part of like not being ashamed. It's it's just getting the conversation started. So if I'm sitting at a bar or at a restaurant or wherever it may be, and it's happened where people come up to me and they're like, what does that shirt mean? Like they kind of have an idea, but they don't. And that's the beauty, right? It's not blatantly in your face.
Yeah.
They're subtle. They're obvious, but not too obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point is to be proud of it, right? Be proud of your recovery, not ashamed of your addiction.
Yeah.
And it's to get the conversation going. It's to have a little bit of pride in what you're doing.
Yeah.
It helps relieve the temptation. Because now you are talking about it. You could be sitting at that bar and someone's asking you, why does your shirt say spoons are for cereal? And you can, and hopefully it gives you that empowerment to tell them, you know what, I used to do heroin. So my spoons were for cooking drugs. But really, they're not meant for that.
Yeah. That's cool, because I think you can educate the public in that way too. Like if you're not running into someone who has a history, I mean, we all know somebody who has a history anyway, but you know, if you're not somebody who's conversant and they talk to you, they're going to know a little more about drug use and maybe how terrible it is out there and how big the problem is and so on. I think that's a good thing, and I think you're bold and courageous to do that, because and to like I say, walk around. And folks, I don't mean an advertisement to make money necessarily, but an advertisement that'll get people involved in a problem that is becoming way beyond what most people have any idea about. So, you know, and I'm sure you know that, and I'm sure you run into a lot of people right away. I mean, you know, and it's a great way. I mean, it's even if you're like me and you were more introverted, you know, if you have that shirt on, someone's going to ask you about it, you know, no matter who you are or what you look like. And tell me, just off the top, anybody come up and sort of argue or be belligerent or mean or anything like that? I'm just curious.
You know? Mainly it's very positive response, because it's a message. It's not about, and like you said, you alluded to it earlier, it's got nothing to do with the business or money. It's also helping the future, like, people from... And that's one of our main messages, is not just for people that are in recovery, but the young, to try to prevent them from going into it. Because we see a lot on TV and in music how awesome and fun it is to go get high.
Yeah.
Right? Let's go get drunk. Let's go get high, and let's go be promiscuous.
Yeah.
And it to me, it's a little more of a, like, it's brainwashing young.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's giving this illusion, but they don't talk about what happens when that person all of a sudden becomes hooked or they're dependent on it, right? Mm-hmm. They just show you that one night of the fun, what looks like it's fun, but they don't actually talk about what happens to the majority that do get hooked. Yeah. And a lot of times when people get hooked, or it's not because they're looking to have a fun time, it's they're looking to escape or deal with some childhood traumas or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And they fail to mention that. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's one of our main goals, is to just change the overall conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Not just on how people view addiction, but how society as a whole portrays the party lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's an uphill. It's a very difficult a hill to climb, but it's to get the conversation going. It's to just get people to realize that there's a lot more to it. The pain is very real. The struggle is real. There's a lot more people addicted than you would even imagine. They say it's 1 in 5 Canadians will meet the criteria of addiction in their lifetime. So you might not know, but it could be your brother, it could be your cousin. It's anybody and everybody.
And you know, to know how to be around someone who's got the, you know, got the monkey on their back or whatever you want to call it, is so important. I mean, and being involved, you know that if you are active and someone came to you with advice, it'd turn you sideways. I mean, you'd rather use more just to shut the guy up or just to get him out of your face, you know. And and people out there, for you parents who, you know, try and tell your kids how they need to act, you better stop telling them and show them you love them and listen to their struggles if they'll share it with you, because it's a tough grind, and we've only just begun. I mean, with the carfentanyl crisis going on out there, you know, people are dropping like flies, and the real world doesn't seem to get it at all yet. And you'd be real close to it, Steve, and I am, especially in the jails. Last night we had 5 guys in there, and all users of fentanyl on and off, and one of them took part recently, and a bunch that overdosed and hit the news, and it's a sad story because it's beyond the normal addiction. I don't know if you're talking with anyone who's used that.
So we had a friend, a guy that I used to work with about 2 years ago, he passed away on fentanyl, right? That was his drug of choice. And after the viewing, we went back to my place and we were sitting there, me and a few friends, and we were talking about how messed up it is that everybody's doing this fentanyl. And we're also talking about how it's laced in our cocaine and our hair. It's laced in everything. But that night, while we're sitting there in a circle, we're talking about now let's go get our next fix. We've just come from a viewing, someone that passed away from it. We realized that it's in our cocaine, it's in everything. And we still decide to go grab and take a risk. And that's what addiction is, right? And it's crazy. It's just absolutely baffling to think about that. You realize the risks and you're willing to still. They're playing Russian roulette. You're essentially, and especially now, it's getting worse and worse.
But that's what addiction is, though, isn't it? I mean, it's not being able to say no, when if you don't say no, there's a good chance you'll die. I mean, that's what it is today. I mean, when I talk to fentanyl users in there, I tell them, I say, look, here's the honesty. You're most likely not going to be around very long.
Yes.
And I mean, and I'm not telling you that because I don't want you to be around. I'm telling you because...
That's a fact.
I'm just telling you, like, if there's anything whatsoever in your power and the power of you and your God or your friends or whatever, you better use it because your chances are really slim. And you just told me. I mean, you did it with 7 others. One died and the rest of you were Narcan and brought back. You're lucky guys. Yeah. You know, next time, who knows? And I don't think any of you want to die, you know, and they don't. But this is beyond the norm. It's beyond anything I've ever seen. And I've been around this stuff for a long, long time. And man, oh, man, it is scary.
Scary. I personally, I don't understand it when it comes to that drug itself, it is a death wish, right? It's one thing having something laced, it's another thing you will eventually die from fentanyl. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You hear it all the time in the news. Every week, there's more and more dying. Every year, the numbers are just ballooning.
It's astronomical.
Well, I don't remember exactly what the number was, but I think I had an article I saw in January, and in like 3 months prior to that, there was like 186 fentanyl deaths or something like that. I could be wrong with those numbers.
No, you're probably close. It was close to 1,800, I think, in BC last year.
Yeah, for the year. But this was at the start of this year or like the end of last year. And so like I can't wrap my head around that. Like going out there and choosing. I know one or two guys that is their drug of choice that still currently used. And I don't understand it. But
that's
right,
the power of addiction, though, isn't
that
it?
Is a power of addiction.
Baffling, powerful, and you just...
People can say the same thing about me, right? Like, my wife would sit there and she's like, I don't understand how you use cocaine.
Yeah.
Right? So, and that is the power of addiction. You just don't realize. Like, you might tell yourself, okay, I shouldn't be taking this money, right? This is for my family.
Yeah.
But when you're using it and you're high, you tell yourself no, but you still find yourself driving to the bank.
Yeah.
And pulling it out. And that's where you have to, like, that's where you have to find your higher power or whatever you grab onto, right? The higher power can be anything.
Whatever works.
It could be God. It could be a tree. Just something that you know is greater than you that can help you correct what you've been doing wrong for X amount of years.
Yeah. I think it's that humility that says to a man or a woman that I can't find anyone who has the answer. I don't have the answer. You know, if you're out there, whatever you are, you know, I'm seeking you. I'm coming after you. And like you say, it doesn't really matter. And I can remember people always fighting about, oh, they call it this, they call it the higher power, they call it that. I don't care what they call it, you know. If you're seeking, there's a chance you'll find. If you're not seeking, you're not going to find anything. And it doesn't take long to know that there's no human out there who can stop people from using fentanyl or mixed with carfentanyl, which is 100 times more powerful than fentanyl, used to tranquilize elephants. We're playing with stuff like that. 3 or 4 granules can kill you.
Yeah.
And, we're looking at different ways to do this stuff. And somebody who's nuts or evil out there, and probably more than one, is mixing this stuff all over the joint, and it can't be properly mixed outside of a lab. And these guys don't have labs. You know what I mean? They're, a bag of coke mixed with a little bit of fentanyl.
Yeah.
When they measure it with a light, you can see in the lines there. They don't even compare, none of them.
And the fentanyl always drops to the bottom, right? If it's not mixed properly, and that's what's going on. These guys are just grabbing it, and it'll always fall to the bottom. So you could do 90% coke, and then the last line you're doing is pure fentanyl.
Yeah.
And that's where the deaths are happening.
Goodbye, exactly.
Like I said, it's mind-blowing to me. Even from a business perspective, as being a drug dealer.
Drunkie, yeah.
Why would you want to add that into your drugs? You're just killing off your clients.
They don't understand.
Yeah.
Like even in there, honest to God, I sit with guys all the time, like just like you, but they're fentanyl users and pushers.
Yeah.
And I say, someone like you killed my boy. And it takes them back as though I just shot them or something, but you'd swear they'd never really heard it properly before. It was always, I said, it's okay, I understand. I mean, you use certain drugs, and eventually you start using this one that seems to be king drug, and, you might as well sell that one because that's what everybody wants. So I understand it from an addictive standpoint, but from any other standpoint, I mean, you got to know, you aren't the only one going to die. You're killing some other people, and as Steve just said, you keep using, you're dying anyway. There's no question. It's not, it's just, it's how soon are you going to make a month, or you're going to be gone tomorrow. And we've had meetings of 8, 10, and 15 people, and when I say to them, what if I could take a picture of you guys? And I can't because we're in jails, but what if I could take a picture of you guys? How many of you think would be in the picture if I took the same one next year? And I've heard this answer several times, probably none of us. What an awful thought. Can you imagine? And yet, on the next breath, somebody will say, and I can't wait to get out and get some more.
Yeah.
It's just, and they say, they'll look you in the eye and say, I know it's insanity and I don't understand it, but I want some more.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I wish I actually knew more about how addiction, like, truly works inside the brain.
Yeah.
Because,
Well, hold that thought.
Yeah.
We're going to have to take a break here. I'm getting excited, so that means that means we're going to get me in trouble. So, folks, Scott at 102.9 FM here in Stouffville with Steve. We're talking about our favorite awful drug out there, fentanyl and carfentanyl, and we'll be back in a bit, but we got to pay some bills. So you're on, my friend Jason.
All right, time to pay some bills. We'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.